You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Nathan Zgur, Matt Wilhelm, and Akiad with you here, continuing to break down the preseason action. And of course, don't forget, folks, single game tickets available now on ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. It's your chance to secure tickets to all 2015 Cleveland Browns home games this season, including key matchup against the Broncos, 49ers, Bengals, Ravens, Steelers, and the home opener against the Titans. Tickets will go fast. To secure tickets today, visit ClevelandBrowns.com or the Browns mobile app right now. 216-578-0850. We've got Will in Parma on the line. What's up, Will?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Good, bro.
Hey, I just want to talk a little bit about the defense, man. I was excited to see some physicality and some real raw athleticism out of Kirksey. That was he seemed to be making quite a few plays where he blew a guy up on that screen play. I'm sure you guys saw that. And Scott Solomon, not many people make Alfred Morris look like he's a little man, but that hit that I saw out of Solomon, plus I've been at training camp, and those guys have been extremely physical. And one thing I want to say about Nate Orchard is he's getting a lot of bad reviews on how he held up against the run or maybe on a misdirection. But as far as his ability to rush the passer, I think we're going to see some good things out of him in the future.
I agree, and thank you very much for the call. And, guys, if you recall, when it comes to Nate Orchard, I think this is taking into the fact that Barkevious Mingo was healthy at the start of training camp prior to getting hurt and now being out 4 to 6 weeks with that meniscus injury. But what have I continually said about a guy like Nate Orchard, who was highly productive as a pass rusher at the college level? You know, scheme type of situations for him, you know, early in this football season, where he can come in with one motive on his mind: affect the passer, rush the passer, pin the ears back and go. When he's already learning and developing and overthinking simply because he's got to process so much information from a new playbook to tendencies to film, all that goes through your head pre-snap, which takes time to interpret all that information. The last thing we want for him out there is him thinking too much. And I'm not saying he did, but I love the fact that we can bring him out there with those heavy hands and pin his ears back and just go get the passer. But with really a three-man cycle where we're usually going to have four guys, cycling in and out with Barkevious Mingo hurt, he's in a situation now where he's got to be able to play the run and the pass. And he'll have to take those growing pains early in this season and hopefully most of them in the preseason.
Yeah, and those reps are only going to help him down the line.
Yeah.
And but let's not forget, he was brought in here to rush the pass.
He was.
And he will rush the passer.
Yes.
And as I predicted earlier in the offseason, I believe he will be up there for Defensive Rookie of the Year because he's going to get to the quarterback.
All right.
If he's in there versus the run, you know, then that may not be the best spot to have him on the field.
But here's a point, and it's a concern that you kind of voiced early in referencing, you know, Paul Kruger. Paul Kruger, better pass rusher than a run defender, right? We've got Nate Orchard, better pass rusher than a run defender. Barkevious Mingo, the best dropper, not so much a pass rusher, not so much a run stopper, okay? And then you got Scott Solomon, who's kind of, he's a high-intensity guy. He's a high-effort guy. We don't really know what we have out of him yet. And do we wonder why we're having problems with contain and holding that edge, even with it being emphasized every day at practice thus far?
And the other thing, too, is, right, on the edge, the only guy that really has speed is Mingo. But he's so light that he can just get washed out against the run.
Right.
So we don't have that guy on the edge. We don't have the Justin Houston. We don't have the guy who's on the edge with the speed that can play both ways and be that disruptor.
Yeah, Aldon Smith, Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware. I mean, those guys don't get to 15-plus sacks if just on passing downs. They learned over the course of their career to play the run as well.
So basically, we need Orchard to learn to play the run.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you got to get him to develop.
But
let him struggle, otherwise he's not going
to
learn.
Correct. Right. But okay. You'd love to have the luxury of putting him in there strategically in situations where all he has to do is get in a stance and rush the passer.
But with his power, I think you could say to him, listen, don't go inside. Set the edge. Let somebody else go inside. Just don't go inside.
But
don't
it might do go, it. But That's it might go
take
against,
away
but
his aggressiveness
but
it would
take
pass rush.
And it, it might completely go against the scheme. So then, and I know the outside linebacker in certain situations, an offense is really not going to care, especially as a young player. So it's not going to work against us from a tendency standpoint. But all in all, my expectations for Nate Orchard to be a 6+ sack guy as a rookie in the National Football League by getting opportunity after opportunity to just rush the passer is now kind of washed away, where he's going to have to be a well-balanced linebacker, setting the edge, stopping the run, making plays in that run game, and also rush the passer and be an impactful player in passing downs.
Yes, 216-578-0850. Don in Ashland, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
You got it. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm excited, man. The football season finally kicked off last night.
That's right.
Yes, it did.
Hey, 2 points. One, I thought the offense did really well. I was very enthused about what McCown did. He showed me a little bit more athleticism than I really thought that he had. I do love the fact that he does step up in the pocket. He delivers a strong ball, and he keeps his eyes downfield. He was going through his progressions really well. I thought that was really good from him last night. But what really impressed me most was Danny Shelton. You're not going to run through the gut of this defense with Danny Shelton out there. That man, I mean, you're talking the guy was taking double teams and still pushing at least one of those guys back in the backfield and disrupting. Our run defense is going to be predicated, like you guys were saying, with Nate Orchard, over time developing the ability to set that edge. I think he's got the size. I think he's got the speed. I think that, you know, Mingo is what his problem is being just a little bit too small out there on the opposite side of Paul Cougar to be able to set that edge. And I think with time, Nate Orchard will be able to do that. So I'm not freaking out so much about the run because the only way that any team is going to get yards is if they scheme to go to the side opposite of Paul Cougar. And eventually we'll be able to I believe that we'll be able to correct that.
I think it's all correctable. That taking away what I saw last night from the football game and our ability or a lack thereof ability to stop or set the edge to stop the run or those bounce runs is, as we see, knowing the game of football as points of emphasis, I'm sure Coach Pettin, Jim O'Neill, Coach Fleury, Anthony Weaver are all seeing the same exact thing, and they're addressing it properly. And that might mean scrapping a certain defense or scrapping a certain package. If it compromises the integrity of your ability to stop the run, you have to give up on some of, on that 30% of graduate level stuff. If we can't do it, throw it out. Because what we saw from week 7 to week 17 from this defense was as good as it gets, and that was 60% of this defense. So if that graduate level stuff is just too far beyond us right now that it compromises who we are and what we are as players, I don't have a problem getting rid of it.
Here's what I'm happy about. They averaged 2 yards a carry between the tackles.
Yeah.
They averaged almost 8 yards a carry to the outside. Last year.
So where's everybody going to run the ball?
Well, to the outside. But you can focus on that. Last year, teams were able to just run up the middle. They were able to run to the outside as well. You had Ataba Rubin, who had an atrocious year, was the worst graded nose tackle in the NFL by Pro Football Focus. The run numbers back that up. So it's different. I feel that even though we didn't see it, and I know people are unhappy with it, I think it's correctable, as you said, and it's focused on the edge. Because if we can funnel this ground game of opponents to the middle, we're going to be in pretty good shape more often than not. Whereas last year, we had nowhere to funnel them.
Right.
Let me ask you a scheme question, Matt. Would it ever be something like Dante Whitner is clearly a really good run stopper?
Yes.
Can you ever shade him to one side and sort of take away one half of the field in the run game, or is it not quite that easy? He'd be too much out of position for something else.
Not necessarily out of position. I always reference the tells. When you try to overcompensate for something as a defense, that offense recognizes it, and what are they simply going to do?
They'll reload the
formation. They'll shift the formation, or they'll use it from a passing game liability. If it's a true tell that, hey, you think we're running, what does a Peyton Manning do? It gets you into a pass, you know, sends I was going to say, you know, one of their better tight ends, like a Fleener, or back in the day, it used to be Dallas Clark with Peyton Manning. He'd move him around into a better position to win on Dante Whitner in coverage. And he'd run a coverage breaking route versus Whitner to expose that that overshading, if that makes sense. So, yeah, there's things you can do, but as we always see, the corner, you know, the safeties, you want to hold those safeties at depth as long as you can, because the second one comes up to 8 and one goes back to 11, you know, it's some type of, you know, middle of safety. It's going to be some type of cover 3, which is an 8-man box, and a quarterback, and a good quarterback's going to check out of that, run away from the support or throw in cover 3, that out route or that deep comeback that is the staple throw at, you know, being thrown by college quarterbacks at the combine every year.
Yeah, absolutely. And when the quarterback, when you give that kind of a tell, the quarterback knows what he's seeing before
the snap. That's stealing.
It is stealing. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue to break down this game. 216-578-0850. We'll take your calls as well. Zagura Kid, Wilhelm, CBD.